Welcome to Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite Sports Byline USA, and we figured we'd start with the hot stove lead because it's getting pretty hot out there. In fact, for those owners that whined that they didn't have any money, it seems that there is a very healthy amount of money available to a number of teams, and Jim Beattie is here to report about it. Jim, thanks so much for joining us.
Nick, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. In fact, I always find it interesting as I look back to my experience in the 1980s and in the 90s when owners talked about how much they were financially strapped. But the bottom line is the bottom line, which teams are willing to spend money. And you're seeing an unusual thing, which is even before the free agents, the big free agents are being signed, that a number of people who one could argue are good but not necessarily great players, like Gary Matthews Jr. This guy is a Gold Glove caliber outfielder, but he's really only had one big year. Last year he has a .313 batting average, 19 home runs, 79 RBIs, a career batting average, it says, of .263. But because he has one big year, suddenly he's a big market guy. Tell us what's going on.
Well, I think you're seeing ownership coming off a new collective bargaining agreement with the players' union. And really not much contention there other than tweaking some of the things, feeling like the game is in good shape. I mean, financially the game is in much better shape. A lot of clubs are feeling good about their own accounting, their own books, as well as, you know, getting together with TV stations. So there's a lot of money floating around out there, and they're getting ready to spend it. And I think what you're seeing now is clubs not necessarily targeting the big guys and going for the huge contracts, except for Houston with Carlos Lee, $100 million for 6 years, but trying to find maybe some of those second-tier guys, and those contracts are pretty hefty. I think the early signings of Pierre, of Matthews, and some relievers is going to open up some eyes, and we'll see how it carries through.
Well, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about the Lee signing, a little bit more about Gary Matthews, about Pierre Soriano, whether those are good investments, and about the truly big free agents. We'll even talk about the Orioles signings of a couple middle relievers and the big money that's even going out to them, and the unusual pattern of teams making trades before they spend on their free agents. It's an interesting offseason in Major League Baseball. We'll be right back with Jim Beattie on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite.
Smart business people know the difference between success and failure lies in the ability to grow. Being limited by your current facility adds up to lost productivity and even worse, lost revenue. You've looked at the price to build, but have you considered the cost of not building? With interest rates still attractive, now is the time to build that warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space you need. A pre-engineered steel building from General Steel will save you up to half the cost of a similar conventionally built structure, and it'll be erected in about half the time. From airplane hangars to riding arenas, gymnasiums, and churches. Expand quickly and save money.
Call the General right now for your free estimate. 800-965-1298, 800-965-1298. And learn about our $20,000 rebate offer. 800-965-1298, 800-965-1298, 800-965-1298.
When other people say, sorry, sold out, Tickets Now says, where would you like to sit? From the 50-yard line to orchestra seats to courtside, Tickets Now has the best seats for the biggest events. Go to TicketsNow.com today and select from the largest selection of premium seats for every major sport, concert, or theater event in North America. Available now at TicketsNow.com. That's TicketsNow.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
Do you have dry skin, cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns? Then use Cracked Heel Skin Softener from Blue Goo. Cracked Heel has lecithin, lanolin, and beeswax, plus emu oil to penetrate and soften the skin. Just massage cracked heel into your feet twice a day and feel the difference. Your feet will thank you. No more pain from cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns. Make your next step a comfortable one with Cracked Heel Skin Softener. Available at Walmart, Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Duane Reade.
This is Nick Lowry, and I'm here to tell you about HeadGamesRadio.com, the official website of Head Games Radio. If you can't listen to the show every day, just go to HeadGamesRadio.com and join the Head Games team. You get to listen to Head Games highlights from our superstar guests. As a member, you'll be entitled to exclusive offers and information, so register with us so we can send you updates and special giveaways that non-members just can't get. Stay tuned. Check out HeadGamesRadio.com. Email us and join the Head Games family.
Yes, I was fired. It happens to most coaches. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to just lie there in the fetal position and whimper?
That was Marv Levy in Buffalo with a big victory yesterday. It's interesting. It seems as if, as our friend Tom Jackson said last night on ESPN's Primetime and the Blitz, it looks like Buffalo may be beginning to get it. We're going to have Tom on the show on Friday to go into more detail about some of the teams that are getting it and some of them that are falling apart in this topsy-turvy NFL season. But let's go back into this, shall we say, report card on teams and free agency. And let's move on to Carlos Lee, Jim Beattie. Jim Beattie has been a general manager for the Expos and vice president with the Orioles. And would you have gone after a Carlos Lee in this situation?
Well, Carlos Lee was, I think, probably the best bat other than Soriano in the free agency, and Carlos Lee had a Texas tie. But I think one of the reasons they wanted to tie him up early is they had one of the bottom-performing offenses last year, and in order to convince Roger Clemens and Andy Pettit that maybe they should think about coming back and pitching another year, they went out and got one of the best bats to help their offense. The other things they've got to do to build up that lineup, they're trying to get done quickly, and I think that's all part and parcel of trying to convince Clemens and Pettit to come on back. You're going to have a better club behind you.
And do you think that's enough? Do you think that Clemens is ready, A, for another year in general, and B, that that's enough for them? Because there was a time, that first 6 weeks that he was back, when they weren't scoring anything.
Well, I mean, he had about a 7-6 with about a 2.3 ERA last year, and he's a six-inning pitcher, there's no doubt about it. But, you know, if they pay him $10 or $11 million for his, 18 to 20 start, that might not be a bad return for a guy that's going to give you that kind of performance. And if their bullpen stays strong, they score some more runs, Roger may be saying, I like this better. And obviously the big, the big apple for Roger that they're holding out in front of him is the fact, and Pettit as well, as they both live in Houston, and they do want to stay there if they feel it's going to be a competitive club.
Let's talk about Moises Alou, 40 years of age. It's as if the 40-year barrier has been cracked, too, not just for pitchers but also for hitters. Here's a guy that in 98 games, he had basically the same numbers as Gary Matthews Jr., 301 batting average, 22 home runs, 74 RBIs, and that seems to strengthen the middle of their lineup. They had a lot of problems, the Mets did, against left-handed pitching. Would you have thought this was a good move?
Well, one thing about Alou is he's done it year in and year out when he's healthy. And I had Mo in Montreal, and he's an exceptional offensive player. At that point, he was a very good defensive player, but I think his legs have gotten a little older than the rest of the body. His hands are still working extremely well. And when he's in the lineup and healthy, he can be a force and drive runs in. He does know how to hit. He hits to all parts of the field. He's got some power that they can rely on. He's not necessarily a 3-4-5 bat, but you put him in maybe a 6 and a 7 slot with their lineup in New York, and he's going to be a very strong bet for them. Really, for me, the only thing there that they have to take a look at, the reason he only played in 98 games is he did have some health problems last year. They have to be satisfied that they're okay with him maybe playing 100-110 ball games and staying maybe on the DL once or twice during the season. Obviously, they feel good about that, but Alou is a fine player, and I think he'll step in and probably be a plus for them over what they replaced in Cliff Floyd in left field.
And he provides some power. What about the argument that you want to stack your talent, that Andy Chavez was really better coming off the bench as a fourth outfielder? Is that a good thing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think people realize that Chavez is mostly a defensive player. He made some great plays in the championship series, But he's a guy that can come in. He is learning how to bunt better. He could get on base. He can be a base stealer. But he's a spark plug, and I don't think at this point, he may be 2 or 3 years down the road, the next Gary Matthews Jr. Gary, as you know, he played for 6 years, but he's played for about 6 or 7 clubs. So Andy Chavez is a favorite of Omar Minaya, probably growing on Willie Randolph, too, at this point. So he's a guy that's a great guy to come off the bench, pinch run, go in defensively, which they'll probably do with Moises Alou at the end of the game just based on his range these days.
And then you've got a big signing with the Dodgers. Pierre was in Chicago last year. He had the most hits in the league, 58 steals. You always are, I think, adding a lot of depth when you add speed to a team as well. How important is this to the Dodgers?
Well, 2 years ago, before Pierre went to Chicago, he was coming off a great season. He was a very solid, fine player. He had a bad year in 2005, and really was available to Chicago because of that. He went there and resurrected himself, got himself going again. He's a very fine player, and especially with that speed off there, as you know, he does know how to utilize his speed offensively and defensively. He's a plus out there. So when you could take the middle of your defensive alignment, you've got a strong center fielder, you've got a strong second baseman, shortstop, and a catcher. That really helps defensively, and defense and pitching are what the Dodgers have been about for years and years.
And how much does it improve when you say defense, the greater range that he has in the J.D. Drew? Is there any way for you as the general manager to measure that and its impact on your team, the runs allowed, et cetera?
Oh, sure. They've got metrics out there these days that go out and they take a look at range. They take a look at balls he could have gotten to, balls he did get to. Defensively, I'm not sure. I think it's a step up over J.D. Drew, but offensively, it's a different component. They're doing it with speed as opposed to some power in the lineup. But the one thing about Pierre is he has been a very healthy player. J.D. Drew, who it sounds like the Boston Red Sox are going after to put in their outfield, he is a guy that has played well when he's been healthy, but he has had some health concerns that have seemed to settle in the last couple of years, but still are out there when he gets to play every day.
And somebody who's durable as well. I mean, 648 games the last 4 years, tied for first, 810 hits, third, 45 triples, 225 steals, the best in the league in the last 4 years. So certainly it was not the most extravagant of expenses when you compare it with Soriano. Do you think this move with Chicago, which desperately needed to make a statement with the very disappointing year last year, do you think Chicago's made most of the right moves, given that they've really spent a great deal of money and maybe limited some of their other options down the road?
Well, Chicago needs to do more than just Soriano, and obviously one of the bigger things they did was bring in Lou Piniella. And I know Lou is on the phone every day to Jim Hendry telling him, we need to do this, we need to do that. I worked with Lou in Seattle, and he is a guy that stays on top of the players that are out there. He talks to the players, he calls free agents. He's very active in trying to help to put his team together. I know Lou wants to improve. He wants to do some things over there in Chicago to make that club better. And I know Jim Hendry, in the last year of a contract, is trying to do many of those same things. And they need to do a lot more than Soriano. It's a big bat in their lineup. They did re-sign Ramirez for third base. But they need to find some pitching that's going to help them stay in every ball game a little bit better than they've had. They've got the question marks with Wood and Pryor health-wise, and to replace those two guys healthy, they're in fine shape. But those two guys aren't healthy, and they can't really be counted on. They need to go out and find some pitching to replace all that.
Let's talk about the big free agents, Barry Zito and Schmidt and Glavin. We know that basically about 4 weeks remain in the true free agency period, and general managers, you've told me, like to go back to Christmas and feel like they can spend some time with their families, having done their homework as well. What do you predict is going to happen now that we're moving into the big free agent time?
Well, I think the players like to be signed by Christmas, too. The general managers know they've got some more time. Teams do, but it's really the players that want to sit around that Christmas tree and know where they're going next year and have that kind of taken off. But as you said earlier, what's gone on is they've gone after second and third tier free agents, teams have to sign these guys and get them done. If they strike out at some of the bigger guys, they've got some pieces that help fill out their roster. And then the other guys that feel they can't do any of that are making trades. Generally, you sign free agents, then you make trades. You don't have to give up any players when you sign free agents. Nowadays, some teams are thinking, I'm not sure we can afford some of these free agents. We're going to make some trades, as you saw with the Diamondbacks and the Brewers the other day. They made a six-player swap.
And finally, your favorite team, the last 15, 20 seconds, the Orioles have gone after two setup pitchers. How much is that going to help them?
Well, their bullpen was a spotty thing last year, except for Chris Ray. They had a couple guys that were young. They traded Chris Britton, who was very solid, and they need to be able to shore that up. Their starting rotation is young, but getting better. They need to improve their offense. They're going to have that pitching. They better improve their defense, too.
Well, Jim Beattie, my friend, as always, a superlative summary. We'll check in with you in a few days and see how things have progressed, and appreciate all that you do for us. And we know that you're going to be a general manager with a team that has the intelligence to see just what you bring to it very soon. Thank you, sir.
Best to you and yours. Take care.
That's Jim Beattie. We'll be right back with Monday Morning Quarterback with the legendary Len Dawson. Stay tuned to Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite Sports Byline.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There is a tremendous price war among the major term life companies, and you may be paying too much. Consider these possible rates. A man, age 45, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, $1 million of coverage, is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man, age 50, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $113, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rates for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Termbusters specializes in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. So call this number now for a free quote.
800-430-6715. 800-430-6715. Call 24-7. 800-430-6715. 800-430-6715.
Are you losing your hair? Is that bald spot getting bigger? Is your hair looking thinner? Why aren't you using Avacor, the hair growth treatment that's helped thousands of people just like you regrow their hair?
It's been 3 months now. I've been on Avacor, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old.
We're giving away a free month of Avacor with all of today's orders. Avacor is proven to successfully stop hair loss and regrow hair. Call 800-450-9743 for your risk-free trial of Avacor. Call now. 800-450-9743. All of today's orders will receive an additional month's supply of Avacor absolutely free.
Avacor really works. I just love it. It's like a miracle. I couldn't be happier.
Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. That's 800-450-9743. 800-450-9743.
How would you like to cut your credit card payments by 30% or more? Genesis Financial can help. They have a program that can reduce your high interest rates to single digits or even 0%. You can get more cash in your pocket every month to ease the stress and burden of excessive credit card bills.
Genesis Financial helped us, so we can sleep at night again.
We can even answer our phone.
The weight's been lifted off our shoulders.
Working with Genesis, we truly feel like our prayers were answered.
Get a fresh start without going bankrupt, plus get hundreds of dollars back in your pocket. Call now for a free, no-obligation consultation. Let them show you how to cut your debt by 30% or more and save you thousands in interest, late fees, and penalties. The consultation is absolutely free. Call 800-470-4331. That's 800-470-4331. Don't wait another minute.
Genesis Financial gave us our life back.
Not available in all states. Individual results may vary. Genesis Financial, 800-470-4331.
There's 95 guys or 97 doing the right thing the right way and two or three jerks. So two or three jerks get 97% of the attention.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
Welcome back to Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite Sports Byline with Leonard Dawson, our Monday morning, literally Monday morning quarterback. How are you, Len?
Fine. I'm still wondering who those two jerks are.
They're out there, and we're trying to find them. Anybody that knows where those jerks are, give us a call, because we've got an all-points bulletin out, and Len is looking for them. He's put on his binoculars.
Yeah. As Jerry Kramer mentions that every Monday. I know that.
He does. And, in fact, we're going to have one of your favorite jerks on the show in a few minutes to have a little fun talking about the Raiders. But before we do that, just to add a little suspense, let's talk about this Thursday night game. First of all, I think it was refreshing to have a third Thanksgiving Day game. What do you think about that?
Well, I know that Lamar Hunt, the owner of the Chiefs, has been after him for 30-some years trying to really not necessarily get Kansas City Thanksgiving game, but to spread it around rather than just having it in Detroit and Dallas. And because of, I don't know, they've voted on it several times, but has never been able to get it. Now this one came in with the new network, and it was a big deal here in Kansas City. Unfortunately for Lamar Hunt, he was in the hospital and was unable to be here to see it.
Well, let's talk about what the Chiefs were able to do. They're now tied with Denver, 7-4. They look like the favorites with Denver to get the last two spots in the playoffs. At this point, a lot can happen. What you basically want to do is position yourself for the run in Denver. The bottom line is the Denver defense, which was arguably the best defense in the NFL the first half of the year, LT, LaDainian Tomlinson, crushes them, four touchdowns. And then LJ, Larry Johnson, 157 yards, routine 8 and 10-yard gashes. And most importantly, Len, I think you might agree, the offensive line for the Chiefs was getting a push in the center of the line. They were really, I think, playing with confidence that they didn't have at the beginning of the year.
Well, you're right about that. Jordan Black, the left tackle, I mean, after the first two games, people wanted to run him out of town. And they had to bring in a tight end, an extra tight end, to help block on passing situations. But now he's starting to move people. He's playing better. And I think that's the whole idea behind the football team, is that as the season goes along, you want to improve. You want to do better. You got a new coaching staff, new players, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, and they're getting better. They're playing better together as a team. And they've got the right combination right now. With Larry Johnson running, you know that the other team is going to have to get their game plan ready defensively to try to slow him down. And when they do that, it opens up other areas. And, you know, getting this time of year when the weather's going to turn cold, a team that's capable of running with the football has a tremendous advantage. But the players are starting to believe now, Nick. Herm's been preaching them the sermon here for the last few months, but now they're seeing the results of that. They've won, what, 7 out of their last 9 games they've won. And they lost their first two, so they're getting better. They feel better, pretty good about themselves, and they're getting healthier, because the last couple of weeks they've had some guys banged up. Brian Waters, offensive guard, was able to play in the ball game. Wesley, the safety, was able to play. Derek Johnson, linebacker, saw some time as well. So they're getting healthier, which is a good idea this time of year. But things are looking pretty good right now for Kansas City.
So they're looking ahead at Cleveland, home against Baltimore, at San Diego, and at the Raiders. So 3 of the last 4 on the road. Here's Larry Johnson talking about that.
Definitely at home, but we know we gotta carry the same enthusiasm and aggressiveness on the road too. So it's good to play home, but we know we gotta win to get to the playoffs on the road.
Isn't that really the main challenge for this Chiefs team? Is they've been almost unbeatable, as Dick Vermeil said last week. From mid-November on, they're almost unbeatable at home, but they're almost unwinnable on the road.
Herm Edwards, the coach, has been preaching this to his team from the very beginning. He says you have to learn how to win on the road. And I think you have to learn how to win on the road, because it's a mindset. And they've gone down to Pittsburgh. They really got waxed by the Steelers, and the Steelers have fallen on hard times. They went to Miami. Miami had beaten Chicago the week before, but they were having a terrible season, and they were able to handle Kansas City on the road. So they know about it. They're working at it. They'll get a good test in Cleveland, I think, because the Browns have a pretty good defense. Their offense is lousy, but the defense of the Cleveland Browns is not too bad. So it's not going to be an easy task for Kansas City this week.
Well, let's talk about a game that brings back perhaps a lot of memories for you. You and I were talking before the show about the interesting call in that San Diego game with our good friend Marty Schottenheimer and a team with LT that is playing extremely well, a nice, rich combination of defense and offense and special teams. But there was a strange play in that game. It brought back a game I remember watching when George Blanda ended up kicking, I think, a 48-yard field goal to tie it at the end. And joining us now is the loving, nurturing, very mellow Ben Davidson. How are you, Ben?
Hi, Nick. And hi, Mr. Dawson.
Ben Davidson. I was talking about you here not too long ago. Remember on the HBO show you appeared from out of the woodwork someplace.
Fine.
Scared me to death. When was that? Do you remember?
Well, I had I was away on a trip and came home, and there was a call from HBO wanting to know when that was, and I said, man, I don't have a clue. I remember flying all night, and I stood behind you there, and I did a little thing, and I got on a plane and flew back home. I think it was probably about a 12 or 14-hour swing, and they gave me a little travel bag, I guess.
Travel bag, huh?
Since I flew that far and that fast, they gave me something to travel with the next time I was asked to.
What about
that?
The green things with the dead president's pictures on?
No, I don't think there was any of that, just a travel bag.
Well, they haven't changed.
Hey, guys, let's talk about that strange call with the spike. At that point in the game, the Raiders were inspired. They're up 14-7 after three quarters. It looks like they really are in position to have a chance to win the game. Ben, what do you make of that call?
Well, I was at the game, and you couldn't hear the official's explanation with all the crazies yelling and on both sides. And so I didn't find out what the actual decision was until I read the paper this morning, but evidently a deliberate fumble is ruled as a pass, incomplete pass, and since it was past the line of scrimmage, it was a penalty because he forward passed beyond the line of scrimmage, and so they got the penalty for that and took it back, but then they got the ball because they still had a first down. And I guess that's the explanation. Who knows? That celebrating is getting out of hand when guys are throwing away games over making a statement that he called.
Now, does this mean that they're going to change the rules next year?
Well,
the Raiders being involved, but this is the first time the rule went against you guys.
Well, it was the Holy Roller in San Diego, which they still talk about here, and then, of course, the game in Kansas City.
That was in San Diego.
That was what?
That Holy Roller was in San Diego, like you said.
Yes, that was just good Raider football. They said, man, it's the last play of the game, why not kick it?
You're very cerebral, you guys, out there on the West Coast, thinking of these things.
Well, instead of, a lot of...
Well, let me ask you, that Holy Roller thing, did you ever practice that?
No, but, a lot of other teams, guys would have jumped on it and said, look, I got a fumble. But the Raiders had the presence of mind of saying, hey, try it, see what happens. And God bless the official. He made the right call on it.
And just to refresh everybody's memory, Ken Stabler, who may be on quite soon on the show as well, I'm not saying when, but it's very soon, Ken Stabler fumbles the ball. Mr. Hubbard, the fullback, pushes it forward, and Dave Casper falls on it in the end zone. And so that created this rule. Was it in the last 2 minutes of the game, right, Len?
I think so, that the only guy that can recover a fumble is the guy who fumbles it. It's inside, I think it's inside the 5-yard line or 10-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
But that was some sort of a rule change for that.
And then we've got the one that really I wanted to talk about, which is the famous dead ball foul. And Len, take us back to that, because the Chiefs is 1970. You're one of the best teams, maybe the best team in the NFL, certainly right at the top. You're ahead by 3 points. If you win this game, you're 1.5 games ahead of the Raiders. What happened?
Now, you want my version or you want Ben's version?
I want both. Let's start with you.
Huh? He remembers less than 2 minutes to go. They had used all their timeouts. It was third down and 4 or 5, something like that. If we made the first down, then we could just go to a knee and the game's over with because we're up by 3. Well, I had called a sweep to the left, but I told, I think it was Mike Garrett, the running back, that I was going to keep it because I wanted the best ball carrier we had on the team with his hands on the ball, which is me, right? the element of surprise I thought would work, and it did. And I went down the field, and somebody cold-cocked me. Ben has got a different version of how I went down, though. But anyway, I go down, and knowing the Raiders, that and Ben's philosophy about quarterbacks is that I protected myself, rolled myself up into a ball, and Ben kind of did a somersault over me. When Otis Taylor saw that, then he jumped on Ben, and here comes everybody, a free-for-all there for several minutes. And the referee was starting to pound off 15 yards against the Raiders. Dan Carlers, who's an intelligent middle linebacker, said, "Hey, whoa, wait a minute, what about this flag on Otis Taylor?" So they had a conference. When it was all over, they were offsetting penalties. We went back to the line of scrimmage, didn't make the first down, punted away, and George Blanda, I don't know how, he was 67 years old at the time, I think.
He kicked his age.
Yeah, he kicked the, he was 48 when he retired, I think, but he kicked a 48-yard field goal to tie the game. The significance of that was that the Raiders, I think you guys had a tie later on, and when we played you last game of the season, or near the last game of the season, we had a half a game lead, but if that hadn't been the call, we'd had a one-and-a-half game lead, and they just waxed us out there on the West Coast, and they won the division. Now,
listen,
that's my story.
As Alex says,
that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
You're sticking to it. When we come back, we're going to get Ben a chance to come back and tell his side, talking to Ben Davidson, the great Oakland Raider defensive end, and one of the sweetest guys I know, and Len Dawson will be right back on Head Games on Sirius Satellite and Sports Byline.
How would you like to make a full-time income working from home? Now you can with the proven work-from-home system at homebiz47.com. That's homebiz, the number 47.com. Order your free work-at-home training package today. See how you could spend more time with your family and earn more income than you ever imagined.
Life is absolutely amazing now. I have a business that allows me to be a full-time stay-at-home mom. I can work from home and actually bring in a six-figure income. My husband will be retiring. I have corporate America in a few short months at the age of 36 and be coming home to work with me full-time. And our daughter will have both parents at home, which is absolutely phenomenal.
Order your free work-at-home training package and free DVD by logging on to homebiz47.com. Shipping is not included. Change your life. Log on to HomeBiz, the number 47.com. That's HomeBiz47.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
I'm Dave Meltzer, host of the Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Radio Network. And if you're a fan of pro wrestling and want to know what's happening before anybody else, you should subscribe to the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. It comes out every week and it covers wrestling all over the world. The biggest names in pro wrestling and the most knowledgeable fans all subscribe to it as the leading source of inside information anywhere. Just go to www.wrestlingobserver.com and there's information on how to get a subscription. If you go to the website right now, you can even get information on how to get a couple of free issues of your choice. So go to www.wrestlingobserver.com.
Are you a sports trivia fanatic? Why not turn your sports addiction into a career? Former Sports Byline host David Brody, president of Broadcaster Marketing Services, is ready to help you launch an exciting career as a professional sportscaster. Let BMS teach you how to break into the business. BMS will produce your demo, create your resume, and guide you along as you enter the most thrilling profession known to man. Call BMS at 205-979-4577. Visit us on the web at sportsbroadcastingcoach.com.
Do you love golf, boxing, soccer, wrestling? Then sign up for the podcast from your favorite sport and never miss a show. With podcasting, we deliver the best programs directly to your computer every week, automatically. Just go to sportsbyline.com and click on the Get Podcast button. You'll never miss another show. Visit sportsbyline.com today.
It takes the same thing to get to the Super Bowl and win that it takes to get there and lose. You know, it's not the NBA where you got a 7-game series once you get in the final. You got to get it done that day.
And now, back to Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry. Join the conversation now by calling 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529.
Welcome back to Head Games Radio. Wanted to give Ben a chance. Ben, what's your version of that? 1970, and the Chiefs are up by 3 points. It's in Kansas City. The Chiefs have a chance to take a one-and-a-half-game lead. And because you're so sweet and loving on the football field, you decided to take matters into your own hands. Tell us what happened.
Well, the reason I decided, it's exactly the way Lenny described it, and rightly so. He was there, and he was part of it. But he neglected one salient point, and that is that the reason he was on the ground was because he had tripped over a fellow named Dave Hill, and that put him on the ground. And Dave Hill, chance had it, played for his same team. So Lenny needed to be touched down, otherwise he could have gotten up and advanced the ball. And being a conscientious defensive player, I wanted to touch Len down and make sure he couldn't get up and advance the ball. So,
and he touched him just like a little feather.
Well, it was this was a different time.
He thought he was a gymnast.
So I did a kind of a actually I tried to spear him, but I was going so hard I probably would have hurt myself. So I did kind of just a head roll on him, and as he said, Otis Taylor came up to defend his quarterback, and hope Otis is doing well. I know he's got Parkinson's, and good luck to him. But
yeah, we said our best to Otis.
That's
definitely
the way it all happened, and we tied the game and stayed in contention. And and I guess that's the year you went to Super Bowl, right, Len?
No, that was after.
Oh, all right. Yeah, all right. Yeah. You were defending Super Bowl champs. That's right. And you got to give the Chiefs Super Bowl I, Super Bowl IV, won the Super Bowl IV against the Vikings, and great teams back then. They were our nemesis, and they were fun to play.
And you know what, Ben, before we let you go, I just want to say you also started a tradition, which happens all the time every week, whereas when a team's down, somebody's got to provoke the other. You got to make something happen, and more often than not, it's not the guy that causes the foul that the referees react to. It's the guy that reacts. So, Ben, in the Hall of Fame of getting it done when it matters most, you're one of the members. We appreciate you joining us today.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you, sir. Well, you know what? We've got Hall of Famers all over the place because we're also joined by Sam Huff, and I figured that every Monday when we can finish the show talking with Sam Huff and Len Dawson about some of the ways that things change and sometimes they don't, I thought, Sam, it'd be kind of fun to talk about a rare thing in Washington these days, a win.
Well, you know, they got to win sometimes, and, you know, the rookie quarterback...
It's in the league rules, right, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the team... Since I've been around that didn't win a game, I mean, you got to win one or two here or there. And that, you know, that showed up yesterday for the Redskins, who played the Carolina Panthers, and only the second start for Campbell, the quarterback. And it was a big game for him, and he made it work.
You know, Len, I just wanted to ask your opinion. It seems sometimes that the way things happen present some of the issues we've talked about better than we could have dreamed of. The fact is, we've talked about how, and Sam, you've said this on a number of shows, that the worst thing that ever happened, Marv Levy said the same thing last week, actually, is when you get that communication through the helmet from the sideline. It's too much control of the players, and that went dead in Jason Campbell's helmet. He could not hear anything, so he goes ahead and calls his own play. He has to be the leader on the field, and that actually turns out to be the game-winning play.
Well, you're right about that. You know, when the quarterback is standing out there with his hands on his helmet, you know, trying to hear what somebody else is saying, what plays they're calling, you know, I never experienced that, so I don't know exactly what it would be like. But I know that once you get the quarterback involved and he's calling the plays, he knows the plays pretty darn good, I think. And he can also go to his people in that huddle and ask them for their advice. You know, who knows better how to block people than the guys who are up there doing the blocking themselves? So I'd hate to see him taken away. But today, I mean, in Little League and high school, college, quarterbacks never get to call the plays.
So let's look into this game in a little bit of detail before we go on to that collapse with the Giants, which I think marks probably the beginning of the end for the Giants' season. As much as they've done well, they've turned it around. They've surprised people before, but it looks like they're imploding from within. But before we do that, one of the things I know that you were criticizing was Greg Williams and the Redskins' defense. It looked as if they finally had a cohesive game plan. Tell us about that.
You're talking to me?
I'm talking about the man that covers the Redskins.
Talking to me?
I thought you were talking to Lenny Dawson. He might know more about that than I do.
That sounds like the Robert De Niro in that movie.
Well, I tell you what, they have been playing just extremely poor defense. There's a big write-up in ESPN Magazine, which covers the Redskins entirely, about having 22 coaches on the staff, about Greg Williams being a dictator type of thing and really running roughshod over the players. I mean, it's if you don't have that, you can get it off your computer and read it. I mean, it's quite extensive, and the ball players almost, you know, turning against him and his style. It's all there. So that's one of the things that's been bothering the Redskins. Last year, they were very, very good defensively. And this year, you know, without LeVar Arrington, who was a leader, a clubhouse leader, he had a falling out, I guess, with the front office and the coaching staff, and so he's now with the New York Giants. And Ryan, who was a safety, played very well. He's gone with another team. So they got a lot of free agents that didn't, you know, hold up this year, and they went to other clubs. So the defense got a lot of holes in it and just hadn't played well. This was the best game against the Carolina Panthers, but the Carolina Panthers have a defensive team that they don't have a very good offensive team. But the Redskins defensively played very well against the Panthers yesterday.
Let's move on to the Giants game, because, Leonard, I know that this season has proven one thing in particular, which is any team can collapse in any given week. What do you think happened there with Vince Young, certainly a factor and a combination of skills and assets that have rarely been seen in the quarterback, with Norm Chow, I think, giving him increased confidence week to week. But besides that, to me, it had to be that the Giants lost their focus. What happened in that game yesterday?
Well, I think you look at the turnovers. Eli Manning threw a couple of interceptions that were really ill-advised throws. And, you know, the only guy that could catch it was a defensive player. And, you know, that kills you. It kills drives. It kills everything. And every week talk about turnovers, and that's the key to most every football game in the National Football League. The other guy, Young, just started playing football, having some fun, and using his assets. One is his ability to run. Now, what on earth the defensive lineman was thinking down there at the end when he had him tackled and just let him go? I don't know. I've never had any defensive lineman treat me that way, I can tell you that. But they're just, and I don't know, maybe Sam knows more than I do, but when you hear people questioning the head coach, when players are questioning the head coach, you got some problems. And that's happened. Shockey was one. I think Tiki Barber was another that let out their feelings about the head coach. And when that happens, you know, it's not going to be a situation where everybody's working in the same direction.
And then when the head coach, it was interesting to hear John Madden say, hey, he's telling the truth, he's criticizing his quarterback, but it's the truth. Do you think the way Tom Coughlin is tending to criticize in that New York media environment, where it's difficult not to find something negative that you can pull out of a player with so much pressure from the media, do you think Tom Coughlin is sort of falling into a trap where his players are now going to question the trust relationship they have with him because he criticizes them publicly, not behind closed doors?
Are you talking to me?
We're talking to you, Sam. You're the New York guy.
We're talking to you, Sam.
Okay. I believe, you know, I believe this. I wonder who was calling the plays, and we talked about this so many times. Who was calling the plays for the New York Giants? Was it Manning, or was it called from upstairs, or was it called from the head coach? I don't know, but I know if you got a 21-point lead, I think you run the football. I don't think you put that football in the air. You run out the clock. You use the clock, and I think that's where Tiki Barber was upset in the game before that they didn't run the football enough. You know, it's a game where you have to control the ball, and you control the clock, and you control the game. And those are the three very, very important things in football. I don't care what team you're playing with, but you got to protect the lead, and you got to use that clock, and the Giants did not do it yesterday.
Well, you got to control your team, too. And joining us is Rich Cimini, who covers the Jets for the most part in New York with the New York Daily News. Before we talk about that Jets game in the last segment, what's your take on this? Is this a media-inspired revolution, or is this something that has genuine roots that have to be taken very seriously?
I don't think it's media-inspired. I don't think it took much prodding to get him to question the play calling last week. He, in fact, first said it on his radio show the night before, and then the next day, I think it was one question from a reporter kind of set him off, and so he clearly had an agenda that he wanted to get out there. So I don't think it was really media-inspired. Of course, it became a cause celeb back-page stories for the next few days. And the ironic part was that Tiki was getting the ball in the fourth quarter yesterday against Tennessee as they tried to run out the clock, but they weren't gaining any yards, and they were going three and out, and you know that was one of the problems that led to just a total meltdown for them.
Len Dawson, 30 seconds left. You're Eli Manning, though, the score is tied. There is the perception that you're losing control of the game. What do you think of that, though, when you're in that situation? It's easy to criticize him. Is there any other option you would have given him?
You know, here's a guy that won some games in the last minute or so of ball games last year. What happened to him? Because he has proven in the past that he's capable of bringing the team back with some big plays and some big throws. That I don't know. He looks like a deer with the headlights in his eyes. You know, when I look at him, see him out there, the eyes can tell a lot about a person. And I just don't think he's comfortable. And going back to Sam, when he's talking about calling the plays. You know, if you're a quarterback, you're going to call a play that you feel very comfortable about if you're throwing the football. And that's not the case when somebody else is calling the plays.
How much of this was about a collapse by the Giants, Rich Cimini, and how much do you think it was the coming of age in some degree, a stage, if you will, in the career of what could be one of the new phenomena of the NFL and Vince Young?
A little bit of both, Nick. I think mostly a collapse by the Giants. Certainly Young has some very unique gifts. I mean, some of his runs were tremendous. But the Giants, they made three just horrible plays. There was the interception at the end that Eli was picked off trying to throw to Burris with about 30 seconds left. And they had the Kiwanuka play that, you know, we alluded to earlier where he was just had poor tackling technique and he had his head down and he thought Young had already delivered the ball. Clearly he did not. And the other play was just ridiculous. I think Tom Coughlin used the word stupid. Forearm to the helmet by Frankie Walker on Young going out of bounds. So those were just three monumental boneheaded plays that really caused the Giants' demise.
Final question before we let you go. Sam Huff, we just got 15 seconds here. This seems like the time when the Giants turn their ship around, when things are looking 100% negative. Is there any chance the Giants can turn this around?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, they've got a lot of things going on with that club right now, and now's the time you have to turn it on and all work together. And I think the Giants are in for some dark games.
Well, thanks for joining us, Sam Huff. We appreciate it. You're a class act, buddy.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back with final thoughts with Len Dawson and Rich Cimini on the New York Jets game, a team that is coming on. We'll be right back. Sports Byline, Sirius Satellite Channel 122.
Hi, I'm Robert Wagner with an important message for homeowners 62 years or older. If you own a home, you may be able to pay off your current mortgage or access the equity in your home without making any monthly loan payments. That's right. No monthly loan payments. A U.S. government-insured reverse mortgage allows you to convert the equity in your home into cash, giving you the financial independence you deserve. The tax-free proceeds won't affect Social Security or Medicare benefits, and you can use the money for almost any purpose you desire. The Senior Lending Network program has prepared a free educational video that explains how a reverse mortgage works, how to qualify, and how you can supplement your income without any monthly loan payments. If you're a homeowner 62 years or older, your free video is waiting. So call now.
For a free educational video from the Senior Lending Network on reverse mortgages, call 800-995-4280. 800-995-4280.
Senior Lending Network is a program by Mortgage Warehouse, licensed mortgage banker, New York State Banking Department. Callers' information will be shared with lenders who are members of the program. Consult your tax advisor regarding tax implications.
Do you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are creditors hassling you for payment? Did you know that new laws require your minimum payments to double? If you can't afford it, please call Financial Freedom of America for free information and learn how you can have your credit card bills reduced by up to 60%. You never have to pay back a penny of the debt that is settled for you. Save thousands or tens of thousands off what you currently owe. They are experts at negotiating debt settlements and can wipe out up to 60% of your credit card bills. Financial Freedom of America does all the work for you. But you need to have at least $10,000 in credit card bills to qualify for this program. Eliminate the stress that comes from being neck deep in credit card debt. Call Financial Freedom of America now at 800-768-9617. That's toll free, 800-768-9617. Call now for your free consultation, 800-768-9617.
Sudden ups and downs, breathtaking twists and turns. No, it's not a roller coaster, it's the stock market. But it doesn't have to be a rough ride. Just subscribe to Barron's, America's premier financial weekly. Subscribe now and get 13 weeks of Barron's for only $39. Each fact-filled issue brings you investing insights, market information, and special reports you won't find anywhere else. Special reports that include the best-performing companies, mutual fund managers, and the outlook for stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. That's not all. Subscribe today and you'll also get Barron's Guide to Building Wealth, plus 4 weeks of Barron's Online free with your paid subscription. All the tools you need to make smarter investment decisions. That's 13 weeks of Barron's plus the Guide to Building Wealth and 4 weeks of Barron's Online, all for only $39. This offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S.
Call now, 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639.
Welcome back to Head Games Radio with Len Doss and Rich Cimini. Rich Cimini, the Jets are finding a way to win with a young coach. Tell us about the game yesterday.
Yeah, the Jets not too surprising. It was kind of a matter-of-fact victory for the Jets. They got off to a little bit of a slow start, but they really were intent on throwing the ball. Chad Pennington had been in a slump over the last few games and really played well, came back, threw the ball with authority, had hit his receivers. They had two 100-yard receivers in the game. Scary moment for Jet fans. Chad in the third quarter was squashed by 290-pound and Mario Williams, and he was laying on the ground motionless for a couple of seconds, and it looked like he had landed on his surgically repaired right shoulder. So everyone in the stadium, obviously, was kind of a hush fell over the stadium, and it turned out he got the wind knocked out of him, which was scary enough for him. He had trouble breathing there for about 30 seconds, but, you know, all things considered, the Jets dodged a huge bullet there. So with a healthy Pennington and an improving defense, I think that could be a factor down the stretch.
Well, thanks for joining us, young man. And if you want to check out Rich Cimini, he's with the New York Daily News every day. Thanks, Rich.
You're welcome, Nick.
Thank you, sir. Len Dawson, a bunch of quarterbacks that are hot and a bunch that are not, particularly Michael Vick. He's giving the finger to the crowd yesterday. Pretty sad story in the last four games for Atlanta.
Whatever happened to class? You know, you see so little of it anymore. When I see a Tomlinson with San Diego, that's a breath of fresh air because he scores a touchdown, hands the ball to the referee, goes to the sidelines with the anticipation of doing it again, and generally he does. But, you know, you got to get a little more class in the National Football League.
Well, thank you for joining us, as always, with the Chiefs Football Network. Len Dawson, Hall of Famer on and off the field. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
Appreciate it, Lenny. This week we've got a great lineup coming up. Tomorrow we'll have Michael Wilbon from ESPN's Pardon the Interruption and Morton Anderson, the ageless one, to talk about the situation in Atlanta. Wednesday we'll have Rick Bucher with Seth Joyner. Thursday we're working on Chris Mortensen and Vinny Del Negro of the Suns. And Friday, Tom Jackson talking about the NFL and also youth sports. Thanks for listening to Head Games Radio. Go to headgamesradio.com for all the highlights. You're listening to Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Satellite, Channel 122. See you tomorrow.